And our gospel reading, in which part the sermon is based on part of, is Matthew 11, verses 2 through 11. It's on page 11. That's a lot of 11s in the New Testament. Matthew wrote these words. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one that is written about, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The words of the Lord. This is the third Sunday in Advent. That's why there's three candles. If you lose count, just count how many candles you're lit. Okay. At the end, or the first Sunday, we read scripture that came from the end of Jesus' teachings, right before his crucifixion. Last week, we read scripture about his coming that was written about what happened to Jesus before his baptism, before he met with John at the River Jordan. Today's Advent reading is during Jesus' ministry. It's in the time when he is drawing great crowds and people are listening to what he has to say. It's after the Sermon on the Mount, but before he commissioned his 12 apostles, the first disciples, and sent them out. That passage is easy to just separate into two parts, the first five verses and the second section. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is the first five verses. Jesus talking to John. The others are Jesus talking about John. And even though they are separated by hundreds of miles, because Jesus is in Galilee and John is down in prison near the Dead Sea, I think that whole passage is about Jesus talking directly to John, just like he talked to the crowds when he preached to them, and just like he talks to you when you hear his word. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, John had been imprisoned by the son of Herod the Great, who ruled over Galilee, because John had denounced Herod's marriage to Herod's half-brother's wife. It wasn't something you were supposed to do unless the half-brother was dead, and this half-brother wasn't dead yet. And as a good prophet would do, John called Herod out on it. And Herod threw him into prison, which is exactly what those in power do when you call them out. And unlike prisons today, it was not a place that they sent you to be rehabilitated. Prison was a way station. Three things were going to happen to you after prison. You're going to be set free. You're going to be exiled. You were going to be killed. So prison was not a joyous place because you didn't know what was going to happen to you. And you didn't have any say about it. Matthew, earlier than this reading, our passage, tells us that Jesus knew that John had been arrested, because that's why he left the area down by the Dead Sea and went up to Galilee. Because he didn't want to be near the prison, because he could have ended up there too. So he left and he went back where he had grown up and began his ministry. And John heard what Jesus was doing. And John knew that Jesus was the Messiah, because in this passage it says what the Messiah was doing. He's not questioning that he's the Messiah. But what Jesus was doing exactly what John had done around the River Jordan. Preaching. And he was preaching the same words as John. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Matthew wrote that Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. And his fame grew, and they brought him all that were sick, and he cured them. Jesus was doing exactly what he had been sent to do. But John was beginning to have some doubts. And if you want to have doubts, get thrown into prison. It'll make you doubt everything that you ever thought. Prison does that to people. Jesus, who was John's cousin, we don't know how close a cousin, but a cousin, the man that John had to talk into baptizing. Jesus came and said down to him, "Baptize me." And John said, "No, I'm not baptizing you. You're much more important than I am. It's supposed to be the other way around." And Jesus said, "No, you baptize me. It's okay." And when he baptized him, John was there when he heard the Holy Spirit, through the voice of God, anoint Jesus, saying, "This is my son, the beloved." That was the man, Jesus, that seemed to have abandoned John. John was in prison and Jesus wasn't. So John sends some of his disciples. "Are you the Messiah, or am I supposed to keep waiting?" It's a question that we all ask, especially in this time of Advent, when we go, "Why isn't Ray teaching about the Christmas story? Why aren't we reading about the little baby?" Because in Advent, we concentrate on both the coming of the Lord the first time and the coming of the Lord the second time. And at Christmas, then we concentrate on him being born. Jesus, in Advent, is in between. "Are you the true Messiah," John says, "or are you like the others that claim to be the Messiah and then were killed and we never heard of them again?" Now, there might be a few of you that didn't know that there were Messiahs that popped up throughout Judea and Galilee in the first century. If it's the most important thing in your religion that there's going to be a Messiah, somebody's going to take the mantle sometime. And in the Acts of the Apostles, there are at least three names. And I won't go into them, but you can read them and find out that there were people that popped up that led revolutions. One guy tried to lead the people to walk through the River Jordan, just like Moses. It didn't end well. They must not have been able to swim. But there were three of them in the Acts of the Apostles. Are you like them? Are you really the dude? I thought you were the dude. I heard God say, you are my son. But I'm still in prison. And you're my cousin. What the is going on? And so Jesus answers him by saying, go tell John what you see and hear. And what did he see and hear? What did those disciples see and hear and then go back and tell John? They saw that Jesus' actions mirrored exactly what the prophet Isaiah had foretold 500 years earlier. They were the prophecies of the Messiah. And Jesus and John knew them by heart. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer. And God has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted. Now those of you who really know your scripture would have noticed that Jesus adds one deed that Isaiah doesn't talk about. And he left two out. And I think that's the whole point of this answer. He's talking to John. Jesus added, lepers are cleansed. There are three examples of the Old Testament that John would have immediately remembered. And I hope that as we read the Old Testament together, better and better, we all will know those too. Moses kind of argued with God when God told him, I want you to go talk to the Pharaoh up in Egypt. He was being a shepherd, you know. And Jesus didn't really want to, or Moses didn't want to go, so he kept asking him these questions. You know, like when we don't want to do something, we come up with 1,000 questions, and somebody that doesn't have the perfect answer, we go, ha, I don't have to do it because he doesn't have the perfect answer. So Moses is saying all these questions to God, and God gets a little frustrated and says, pull your hand out, look at it, and put it in your coat, and it turns white, and then it turns like a leper, white. And then he says, put it back in your coat. And he does, and he pulls it back out, and it's just like his regular hand. And Moses goes, okay, you do have power. One we don't talk about a lot is Miriam, Moses' sister, also made God a little angry because Miriam slandered Moses by saying he had married an outsider. He did. If you run away from the Pharaoh and you go to some country out in the middle of nowhere, your own people aren't there, you're going to marry somebody that's an outsider. And his sister threw him under the bus for it. And God turned her white as a leper for 7 days. And then he cured her. So both God healed Moses and Miriam. And then there's a general that Jesus talks about. But in the Old Testament, the story is there's a Syrian general who's a leper. Now, if he was a Hebrew, he'd been out in the middle of nowhere because they threw him out of the city. But in Syria, which is maybe why they conquered Israel, the guy was a general. It didn't matter. He was a good general. It didn't matter if he had leprosy or not, or was a leper or had a skin disease. But he didn't want to be a leper, and so he went and he talked to Elijah, God's second great prophet after Moses. And Elijah told him, go bathe in the Jordan. Naaman said, I could have bathed in any river. Why do I have to come all the way to you? Well, anyway, it's because it's the River Jordan. And through God's power, Naaman was cured of his leprosy. So anyway, Jesus says by those examples, yes, I am the Messiah, without saying those words. And John knew that that was what he meant. You heard my Father declare, I am his Son, the Beloved. Let my actions speak louder than just what you hear. And Jesus left out Isaiah 61:1. In that chapter, he goes through this whole thing, and Isaiah's telling everything the Messiah is going to do. Jesus quotes almost everything, but he leaves out two. Jesus leaves out, I'm going to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. Uh-oh. John goes, okay, he's not going to come get me. Why is that? Why wouldn't he come and get me? But John knew in his very next verse what Jesus was talking about. He says, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Doesn't that sound like the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount? You know those all nine. I know Carla knows them, but do you know? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. Those are the Beatitudes. Jesus taught them on the Sermon on the Mount. He gives a beatitude directly to John. And I think John heard him. Just as the crowd heard him and as we heard him. These aren't all of them, but I want to read four of them that I think speak directly to John. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Who's more poor in spirit than someone in prison? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Stick there, I'll be by you. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that's exactly why John was being persecuted. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Jesus did not have to say to this, John, I am the Messiah. The words he spoke, the actions he did, told John that he was the Messiah. Jesus was making enemies just as John did. Even while he preached nonviolence, he was making enemies. And Jesus knew that it wasn't time yet to be arrested and condemned and crucified. And so he did not save John the way John thought he should be saved. Jesus wasn't going to overthrow the government by violence. But he said, and blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Jesus told John that his blessing would be in the kingdom to come, in the kingdom of heaven, which is on earth as it is in heaven. He told John that John was blessed and not to be anxious about what the world would do to him. His belief in his God, Jesus, the Messiah, was all that he needed to know. And it would be that faith that would save John. And that is the gospel that we believe. If we believe in me, no one will ever die. Not me. It's the same message that Jesus preached from that mountain 2,000 years ago and that he still preaches to each of us today. Believe in me and you will never die. And that's why we don't always go right to the Christmas story. The story, at least of the birth, because all of it is Christmas. I like that word, Christmas. I've never understood why it was Christmas. We don't say Jesus Christ, we say Jesus Christ. But we call it Christmas. Doesn't make any sense to me. I think we lost that war that people are worried about a long time ago when they started calling it Christmas and not Christmas. But that's just an opinion. So don't worry. Don't doubt. Jesus is on his way. And he talks to us through the scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. But it is time to sing a Christmas carol. So, number 31. Hark the herald angels.